This is Susan Baxter. I'm 33 years old. Today is September 2nd, 2006. We're in Portland, Maine, and I'm going to be interviewing my boyfriend.
This is Bream. I born in 10/12/1965. Today is September 2nd, location Portland, and boyfriend to Susan Baxter.
Okay, so I want to know what you want people to know about your life before you came to the U.S. What story would you tell your kids if you had them about leaving home and ending up here?
Actually, it took, you know, a long trip to get here before I get here. You know, I had too many stops. But before I leave home, it was mainly my life, you know, as a student and doing my art. And it was pretty normal life, like any student going to school and coming home and doing my art in my free time. And it was pretty interesting, which I loved it, you know, doing what I want to do. And I was studying math, majoring in pure math, which was pretty exciting for me. Until some problem with government, political problem, as I'm a Kurdish student, an artist, it put many questions about my art, which I didn't have enough space to do my art and continue my degree in math, so I had to leave the Syria. The situation for Kurdish people in the world is they are divided in between four countries: Syria, Turkey, Iraq, and Iran. The population in Syria is like 3 million. Good percentage of those 3 million, they're not allowed to continue their education. Even they continued, they cannot get a job in their measurement, what they ever did measure in. And some of them, they don't have any document. They born there, lived there for 100 years. They don't have any document prove they're born there or they are from that part of the world. So all this, you know, cloudy situation, it make for any Kurdish Syrian citizen the life always like a bomb. Anything it could put him in jail, or anything it could, you know, arrest him and put him in behind a bar, which he doesn't know what he's going to be after then. So that's the reason, you know, I left Syria. And I moved to Lebanon before I come here, you know. And I had a stop in Cyprus. Now I'm here.
The condensed version of your story.
Yeah, that's the short version of my story.
I first met you in Kansas, right when you came to the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
And you wrote this poem about coming here. Can I read it?
I sure can remember it.
And this is the translation that we came up with in English, because you wrote it in... Arabic, I think.
Yeah,
Kurdish.
I do remember.
So I'm going to read it, And then I want to know if you still feel the same way. The houses and old walls witness your travel. A night, a boat, waiting for two funerals. Waves slapping the feet of those running to exile. I didn't forget you, and I didn't decide to go. All I wanted was to turn you into memories, to paint you on canvas, covered by color sleep and sleepy hours, to dream night's beginning, cold in June and fire on the deck of the boat, dreams pulled by waves to nowhere, and ways invisible on the surface of the water. How will you guide the night whose beginning was in Beirut, whose stars turned off in Kansas? So I always thought that that was pretty despairing and hopeless, the last part about the stars turning off. And I want to know if you still feel that way.
Yeah. I don't think the feeling it will change between night or day. The feeling is going to be mostly same, but how much, the difference, how much you can accept from the new culture and how much you can give up what you grew up in. Never ever I will be able to forget the memories in back home, those old bricks, the house made of stones, the flat roof, the olive trees. And whatever I see here, I'm going to compare it with what I grew up in. So my measurement, my scale for beauty, my scale for right and wrong, it's going to be what I grew up in or what I saw front of my eye when I was growing up. The life, when you come to new culture, it means if not fully, partially, you have to give up all your understanding for right and wrong, all your understanding for beauty and ugly, for friend relationship, for family bond, for everything. So there is stuff I cannot forget it and just accept what is new, because that's something inside me grew up with me. If I take it out, which that's impossible, if I take it out, I will be empty, only shell. And if I resist what is new here, the new culture, the new understanding, the new relationship, the new band, I won't be able to survive. I have to be, or I will be always trying to make balance what I have, what is coming every day to me. It's not the matter of being upset or matter being pessimistic. When you try to remember, or when you try to keep what you grew up with, you know, the knowledge and understanding. Like, for example, the family band back home is too strong. If any problem, any trouble, anything happened to you, if you owe nothing in your pocket, money-wise, you won't have any problem to survive. Here, if you have money in your pocket, you'll be able to survive today. If you don't have money today, you'll be homeless tomorrow. So this situation, you know, always, you know, is like big sign in front of you. You have nobody here, you know, you have no connection here. So you have to calculate every step you step in. And study every person in front of you, how much he mean when he smile to you. We didn't have this problem back home. Who is your friend? He gonna tell you he's your friend. Who is not your friend? You will find out, you know, sooner or later, which, you know, pretty obvious to you, you know he's not your friend. Here you cannot tell. You walk in the street, everybody say good morning. I don't know. They say is, you know, kind friendly people act, but which that act is not only in the street, even in between friends, you know, on daily basis, you know, they acting that way, you know. Your friend smile with you, in back of you, gasp behind you, you know. So this is a little bit, you know, difficulty, you know, which make life tough.
So how do you feel about becoming a U.S. citizen soon in light of all of that?
I'm proud, you know, being in the United States. I will be really happy, you know, the day I get, or the day I carry the citizenship of the United States. Because the life in the United States, in government offices, I like it, which is totally different than back home. You don't have to be worried and afraid from the laws, because what law, what on paper it mean. Back home, the law in paper is different than in the actual world, you know. It means something, it may mean something on paper, but it will be act different way in offices. Here is, there is nothing such as that. As long in being written, so it doesn't discriminate any person based on his color or his pocket or his account money or his relationship with some senators or government or officers, you know. All this, it doesn't make any difference front of law, which I love it and make me pretty safe, you know, to live in one country like this and be proud to carry the citizenship of that country.
What does it mean to you to be Kurdish?
I don't think it mean more than what it means to you to be American. To be Kurdish, it means to be me, Brim. I'm proud of being as person, grew up, born from Kurdish parents and grew up in Kurdish family and Kurdish culture. The Kurdish culture or the Kurdish people, they are pretty peace people. even they didn't have any chance, you know, to have any kind of political government or power. But they tried always to keep their root as humanitarian group and act that way toward themselves and who got contact with. So I'm proud of being a Kurdish person, even I have not that much contact with them now.
Tell me about your life as an artist. How did it start?
I did drawing like any kid, you know, at school class. We have one or two class, you know, a week drawing. The school system in Syria is, I think, is pretty strong, which it helps, you know, any kid learn more and concentrate on what he want to learn. Like, you have two classes, language, foreign language, in junior high, a week, first grade of junior high, and you have, like, drawing and music and history and chemistry, you know, like from first grade, no, from first grade in junior high. But I think the system changed, they drop it to first grade elementary. So we have 5 hours a class a day only. I started, you know, making drawing, you know, since I was in junior high, and doing like color pencil here, there, until I went to technical, or it called the fine, the College of Fine Art, something like that.
Why did you like it, drawing, painting?
The drawing, it was something, you know, make me feel like I'm doing something. I loved it because I could express, you know, what in my mind. Like, the writer who write, he feel happy when he put the word on the paper. I was feeling happy every time, you know, I do any drawing and I look at it, which I didn't believe, and I did it myself, you know. Wow, that's good, you know. So, always impress me, you know, I can do it, and make me feel more comfortable with being with my pencil and brushes and colors than anything else. That's what I did. I continued, I didn't stop. I went to art college. I continued till now, you know. Maybe I stop, take a break, get tired, like. But I don't think one day I will get away from it.
So it kind of got you into trouble in Syria because they thought you were being political or Kurdish in your painting. Do you think your art is political?
First of all, you know, the first portion of your question, whatever you do, you know, you're gonna get you in trouble if you like it or not. But depend, like, even you eating is gonna make you in trouble, you know. Sometimes you eat more, you know, you get you know, stomachache or you drink too much, you get dizzy. So the matter, you know, how much, you know, you like doing it, you know, or how much you need it. So I don't think that's a problem, you know, even something make you or put you in trouble, you know. Will it push you away from doing it? Which I doubt it. The second part of your question. Yeah, I told you, as Kurdish person in Syria, always, you know, like, he's under scope, you know, watched from the government. Even he do anything normal, you know, it's gonna be, why he did it that way? Why he didn't do it the other way? If he do it the other way, they're gonna put the question, you know, why he did it that way and not the first way? So it doesn't matter. Only the way you be safe in Syria, as Kurdish people, do nothing, which is impossible, do nothing. It means sit at home, even don't leave your house. I had many friends, they were just partying, you know, and they've been arrested for years because they were a Kurdish. And I know, you know, whoever, you know, if you party, you know, wherever you are, if you party, there is no, you know, no political connection to be in a party or to act in a party. So I had many friends there, you know, got arrested. I have one friend, he was second year high school, he was coming from party, they got him on first day of Nowruz, which is New Year of Kurdish people. And they kept him for a year and a half in jail for no reason. Kid, he was partying, like 11, it means he's 16, 17 years old. So what kind of political, you know, dangerous he gonna make to the government? Which it came good to him, you know, he got his high school diploma when he was in jail. And like recently, my brother, they arrested him because he was partying and he'd been in jail like for 6 months, last 6 months. There is no any word on when they're gonna let him go. And there is no any sentence why they did arrest him. So what I'm saying, in Syria, as long as you are Kurdish, it doesn't matter. Even you breathe, you could be dangerous to the government. So if you don't want to be away from problems, only the way not to breathe. Breathe.
Do you wish that you could have stayed in Syria? Or are you happy you left?
I don't know if you mean be in Syria, to be in that, live underneath that government? No.
Obviously not.
To be in Syria with my friends, families, yeah. I wish be there. And I wish I didn't. Because when I left them, like I pulled my root from the dirt. And my root here is still, you know, hanging in air, is not in dirt. So, like, there is nothing, you know, holding me to the life here, because I cannot find what I could survive on, and I cannot make the replacement what I lost. So I wish I still in Syria, but I don't wish I don't regret, you know, I left that kind of government or political mess there, you know. There nothing, you know, to like about Syria as government, but there is your family there, your friend there, your memories as child, as grown up teenager, as student. You let everything behind you. Do I wish I go back to? Yeah, of course I do.
And you think you'll ever feel rooted in the United States?
Yeah. Not rooted, but I may feel a little bit connected, which I do feel it now, you know, like, because I know there is no going back. Here is my country now. United States is my country. I'm going to live here forever, get older here and die here. So here is my country. What I lost or what behind me, I left behind me, it lost, and I lost it. So no way go back to that, what I lost. So my present life or present place, whatever it is, whatever it had inside it, that is my life, even rooted, like, even it doesn't mean the same way, you know, like the root be inside the dirt, but you're going to be rooted some way, even in the air, you know, or lightly rooted, you know, like some plant, you know, the root go underneath, some they live on tree, on other tree, you know, planet. So somewhere the connection building itself, you know. But I don't think it will be the same way, you know, if I were back home. I don't know if I could explain or not. Like, now I don't compare it or I don't put the picture, you know, what I had in my early life front of me and searching for it. I'm trying always, you know, accept what I have or what coming to me, not trying to change what I want to change it to. I'm trying to accept what is coming to me and leave it as is, because that's life here, that's the culture here. So you cannot change culture to your need. You can't change yourself to what the culture need.
So do you feel like you can't look to the future? You don't have ideas of what your life will be like?
Looking to future, it minimize because the unknowledge, not knowing what the atmosphere you're gonna be in, what the new life, how the new life gonna reject you or accept you. I think.
What did you think your life was gonna be like when you were growing up?
I don't know. Some kids, you know, when they are in first grade, their parents, they ask them, what do you want to be? They say, I want to be doctor, pilot, actor, or something like that. And I always thought, you know, about something like art. I always thought, you know, if I grow up, my life is going to be something, you know, has connection directly to art. To creative side, it doesn't matter what it is. Which I think, you know, I'm glad it's still there. Maybe it's too slow, but the connection still exists. And I'm still working on it, but nothing changed. Even I'm here, everything, the atmosphere changed, but my vision to that hope or goal never changed.
Why is it important to you to be an artist?
The word artist, it didn't make difference, you know. The creativity part, it make difference. The time I feel or the moment I think I cannot produce something new, I feel like I'm empty, like end of my life. That's why I'm not trying. I don't want to see my life is empty. That's the reason I'm keeping that hope, and which give me the power to live and can continue living.
What was it like when you were making your living as an artist in Lebanon?
I always liked, you know, in Lebanon I did work as an artist for 8 years, living from my art. And I moved to Cyprus, I did work as an artist. I tried here, but the big glitch between here and there stopped me. Because it was hard to make living and improvement in your language, accepting a new culture, making friends, knowing where you're going, where you're coming, keeping your connection with people, which is the most important thing, you know. Like when you move to one country, you can't speak English, or you move to United States, you can't speak English. It means you are like in a prison or bigger prison because there is no way communication. It means all people moving around you, you cannot communicate with them. It doesn't mean anything, you know, only objects around you because there is no any feeling, you know, to exchange with the person in front of you or any idea to exchange with front of you. So it was like a prison with moving objects around you. So it did stop or slow me down a little bit in the United States, and I did work too many things here. But when I was in Lebanon, I always wanted, you know, or I loved to walk, you know, after midnight in street, which, you know, because I was going to bed like 4 or 5 o'clock morning, a.m. So my day was starting like around noon. My night was starting like after midnight. You feel, you know, those streets like empty, nobody there, you know, like you live, you own whole town, whole street, whole atmosphere. So living as artist, you know, you feel like you are the, you own your feeling, you own your energy, you own your mind, your brain, the way you want to think, the way you want to waste your energy or make your energy reborn again or not. That's what I like, you know, to live like artist. You can use your energy the way you want, which be creative and when you be creative, even if you like it or not, you know, there gonna be some benefit to somebody, even if you don't want to make any benefit, but there will be some benefit to somebody. There is no waste in creativity side at all.
Do you try to communicate something through your art, or do you just enjoy creating it?
Is like you're asking me a question, does the art, it mean it come in empty frame? It doesn't. The art, it doesn't come in an empty frame. There is no art in empty frame. The color translates something, the shape translates something, the figure translates something. Even if I want to try to color it, it doesn't matter. The way I color it, it's going to translate at least my personality, which is just 1 minute of the art.
But I guess my question is whether you're trying to communicate something specific, or does it just end up the way it is?
I always, my interest is the human side, you know, the figurative side, which I try to translate the humanity value in my paintings more than anything else. There is beauty. I believe in beauty, but I believe in humanity more than beauty.
Brian, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about meeting Susan?
Yeah, sure. I came in Kansas City in August 2000, which in third day or fourth day when I arrived United States, I did met her, and she was the like calmest person, you know, I met, which I didn't meet too many person in university because it was my fourth day, you know. But she was a really nice, calm person, and I don't know, for some reason I could read there is, you know, how she has some her own value about humanity, and I felt always, you know, I feel there is two kind of person. One person abused, has nothing, no meaning in their life, and the other person has some goal in their life. They don't live their day just day by day. They always has a plan for the next day, what their life should be, which I found in her when I first met her. And I think I'm not wrong, you know. I still have that belief in. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
And we somehow were able to talk about poetry, even though your English was really bad.
Yeah, we did. I think we did a little bit, you know, a challenge, you know, with not knowing English and talking about poetry or philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe we could communicate a little bit, even we couldn't, you know, have a big discussion, but we did a little bit, you know. Translation, you know, bad translation. I did study in Arabic, but I could translate in what I know in Arabic to 10, maybe a couple, no, less than 100 word, you know, vocabulary. The big discussion about philosophy and other big stuff. I don't know how we did it, but we did it, I think. Otherwise, wouldn't take me, you know, to a museum,
yep.
Show me around, you know, at least not inside.
Anything else you want to say?
Really, you know, what I want to say, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if person move to new culture, it's gonna, the life, it won't be ended. It won't come that easy unless, you know, you have nothing, you know, in your, you know, ahead, you know, in front of you. But I never, ever gonna be like as is, you know, the way you used to, you know, grew up in it. The problem, like, I did spend first 20 years, which, you know, the creation period of me, or the time I developed, you know, any person, they develop in first, like, 15, 20 years of his life. After then, you know, just the, after 20 years, his life is going to be based on what he gained in that 20 years. So the problem, I did grew up 20 years in one culture. After then, I left that culture, you know, to another one, totally new, doesn't accept anything in the first 20. So I had to redevelop myself, you know, maybe it's going to be the personality or the life for me, you know, the two development make me stronger to continue. But what I want to say, never going to stop anybody unless he give up to continue. That's only, you know, the new way, it won't break anybody, you know, unless he want to get broken, you know.
Maybe you're just a kid again for the next 20 years.
That's pretty possible.
American,
yeah.
Kid.
Yeah. I think I do leave it that way too, you know, like asking too many questions, you know, to be kid, you know, ask too many questions, and, you know, try to challenge everything new and check everything, you know, which I was doing, you know, while I'm here, you know, and I'm still doing it, so. Trying to learn the language, ask too many questions, what this is for, what that for, you know. Don't know how to communicate with people. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.